Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rangers Reviews morning briefing on Tuesday, the 30th of April. Myself and Chris Jack, seeing you home until Derek's back tomorrow, hopefully to discuss all the latest Rangers news. As ever, do get your questions in. We're going to talk about the PFA Awards yesterday. Chris was there speaking to James Tavernier and Jack Butland, amongst others. Chris, how are you doing first and foremost? An early rise, I hear, in the Jack household.
Once again, but that's just that's the way of life. I'm hoping once the baby gets to the 12-month stretch over the next fortnight or so, she suddenly click into sleeping all night. But as it stands, not quite that lucky. But another busy day. But there's plenty on the go, plenty to talk about, and plenty to keep us going.
Yeah. Don't envy you this morning. Don't envy you. First, before we get into it, big thanks, as ever, to our sponsors, without whom this video would not be possible. If your boiler is on the last legs, as you know, it's a perfect time for a word about our sponsors. Weissmann, renowned for their exceptional Germaning engineering, is a leader in the boiler industry worldwide, now partnering with Scotland's own award-winning installation team, MPH Boilers, for a collaboration that has a match. All the relevant links in the description below. Right, Chris, let's get into it. You were speaking to James Tavernier and Jack Butland at the PFA Awards yesterday. Rangers well represented across both awards. James Tavernier and Jack Butland up for PFA Men's Player of the Season. We'll get into what they had to say first and foremost. James Tavernier was asked about rumours linking him to Saudi Arabia, reports coming out from Saudi Arabia over the last week or so, not new reports, as he was keen to say. So we're going to see what he had to say when he was asked about that, and then we'll get into some questions surrounding it.
Your own future, have interest in Saudi Arabia, you've got a couple of deals, it's got a couple of years left in your deal. Do you intend to see your time out of that contract?
Well, it's definitely not the first time there's been speculation that Saudi Arabia has been brought up. I think it's been past year that it's been flying around, and obviously reading what's been said lately, I think Connor's been tagged on the list with that. But you know, it's football, there's always going to be speculation, and I'm contracted to Rangers for another two seasons after this, and you know, I'm fully focused of what I have to do this season and then concentrate on what's to come next season. And you know, I think the gaffers came out and said that I'm a big part of his plans, and you know, it's obviously nice when you know that you're a big part of the plan. So yeah, my full focus is on the Rangers. I'm contracted to Rangers, so yeah.
Pretty definitive from him there, Chris. Looked like he knew maybe that question was going to be coming at some point. You heard the whole press conference, you were there. What was the main takeaway, and what was your reaction to what James Tavernier was saying about those Saudi Arabia links?
Like you say, Josh, I think it was one that's, I don't think he woke up yesterday morning and rehearsed it in the bathroom mirror, but I think he knew that question would come up at the press yesterday. He knew what he wanted to say. Personally, I would be surprised if James moved on, and I'd also be disappointed. I know that's perhaps not a view that's widely shared amongst the Rangers support at present, but for me, Tav's still far too influential a player, still far too big a part of the squad and the dressing room to consider moving him on. I spoke to Derek a couple of times about this last week. At some stage, Rangers will have to seriously consider succession planning, because James Tavernier, he won't go on forever. He won't be at the same levels forever. He won't be able to contribute in the same way forever. But right now, asked the manager about it at his pre-match presser last week. He said he'll be a key part of the squad. And I've not seen anything over the course of the season, and certainly over the last couple of weeks, to say that he wouldn't be a key part. Mm-hmm. You just have to look back at Sunday. Once again, it's Tav that provides the cross. Desers, good header, good finish, fair play. He gets the glory for the goal. But once again, it's Tav that steps up in that moment, and it happens so often. Now, you can argue that the team is perhaps over-reliant on him, that the team are sometimes looking for him to do something. It's a case of, well, give the ball to Tav and he'll put in a cross like that, or he'll hold his nerve and he'll score a penalty, or he'll stick a free kick in the top corner. But right as it stands, I think he's still far too influential for Rangers to consider moving on. I know he spoke to the Daily Newspaper guys as well. We've got that interview on the site this morning, speaking about a testimonial and how much him and his family are settled here, and also about the criticism. That was something that came up in his chat with the paper guys. I asked him about the criticism side of it yesterday as well, and he doesn't seem to be affected by it. I think he's old enough and wise enough, and ugly enough now. He's been around the game up here long enough. He knows some of the criticism that's going to come. He knows that when you're playing for a team like Rangers and everything's going well, it's a brilliant place to be. When things are going badly, it can be a terrible place to be, unfortunately. Yeah. That's just the nature of it. He's signed up for that. He's committed to that. And I think Tav would be a big loss to the squad. So unless the money on offer is huge from a Rangers perspective, and they think, well, we can reinvest that in the right-back area, we can get someone that can go on and produce in the same way that he does, and is then big enough for Tav to say, look, set my family up for life, I'm sorry, but I just can't turn that down. I think that would be the only way. From purely footballing reasons, I think Tav remains a Rangers player.
Yeah, obviously, and this extends to Butland as well, doesn't it? Rangers are not a club in a position who can refuse a lot of money for players. They're just not. And I think in the past, that's something that's maybe hurt them. They need to sell players. John Bennett, the chairman, spoke, I think, pretty defiantly at the recent AGM, Chris, about the fact that the recruitment needed to not just feature sporadic wins, both in terms of players incoming and outgoing, but there needed to be more alignment in the entire process, which is why you've seen changes in there. I'm in agreement with you. Lewis as well says Tavernier will want his testimonial next season, plus he's still got a lot to offer Rangers. Tam Brown, top scorer and top on assists, or other players need to step up. It is a valid question. Where would they be without him, Chris? And I think, you know, mine goes back to the Dundee game. Just over a week ago, where you were looking at that in the final 20 minutes and you were thinking, do you know what, it looks as if the only way Rangers are going to get a goal here is if they get Tavernier into a central-ish position where he can try a shot. And how often has it been a goal that he scored that has got them out of a difficult situation, shall we say? So I'm in agreement with you on that. I also think that I'd be interested to hear what you think about this. Twofold. One, I'm sure you'll be looking at Clement and while not naive to probably how far Rangers have to go and how much quality they do need to add in the summer, which is why I think you've seen a bit of a slump in recent weeks. It's kind of the reality of this squad's ability catching up with Clement and the overall situation. You'll look at it and you'll think, do you know what? This is a manager who's won league titles. I've not won enough league titles when I've been here. I want to be part of it for at least one more season. Obviously, he's saying he's contracted for two. But also, I think the role that he will play more often under Clement, and this has changed a little bit in recent weeks because of the injuries that Rangers have had to wingers, and that's meant that, you know, that the high and wide fullbacks that we've not saw as much has returned a little bit more, thinking about away at Ross County, for example. But the role that he's playing when he moves inside the pitch could give him a bit more longevity, because we all know he's someone who's incredibly durable and fit because he just plays every single minute of every single game. But there will come a time where he will slow down. And I think if he doesn't have to continually go up and down the pitch to provide width, that role that we've seen him play, certainly narrower inside the pitch, on and off the ball, that could give him a bit more longevity as well.
I think that robustness is one of his... It's so many strengths, obviously, in an attacking sense, but being robust and being able to just rely on him week after week to turn up at training, to turn up and play the games. You don't need to dip him in and out of the match day squads. I think it will be a case of you don't know what you've got until it's not there anymore. I know Conor Goldson perhaps comes into the same conversation. I think his situation is slightly different because I think there's more longevity in Tav, mainly for one of the reasons that you just described there. I think we could get Tav's contract, if not 2 seasons, I think we could get those 2 years plus maybe further as a squad role. Are you getting 3 seasons out of Conor Goldson right now? Probably not. You look at the investment in the squad and where it will have to come. Centre-half for me is definitely an area where I'd like to see a bit of money spent. Goldson may well be a victim of that. I think on the right-hand side, you just know that Tav is going to be there. He's going to produce. Yes, over time, his numbers will go down, but his numbers are still very, very impressive. And as you said earlier on, without that contribution, without that stepping up in those big moments, where would Rangers be this season? And it's easy to say he's a captain who's won one league title, who's only won a couple of cups. But you have to look at some of the, with all respect to them, some of the teams that he's been playing in, some of the managers that he's played under, some of the situations he's found himself in. No matter how good he is and no matter what he's contributing in terms of goals and assists and what he can do in a leadership quality, when you have that quality or lack of round about you, Rangers aren't going to win league titles. And as you say, I think the fact that he may be looking at the manager and thinking, we could be onto something here. It's not to say we're definitely going to go and win titles, we're definitely going to get to European finals, we're definitely going to go and be successful. But I think there's more hope under Clement, from what we've seen so far, than there would be sitting in September, for instance, thinking, Michael, this isn't going to happen. Under previous managers, like you all say, had a great relationship with Steven Gerrard. I think that if you think that the manager is the right guy for the job, that he is going to build something that's going to be successful, you're more inclined to buy into that and to want to play your part in it. I also thought the manager's comments last week when he was asked about players being out of contract, and he again referenced he won't allow players' contracts to run down. Now, Tav is obviously not a hugely valuable asset in terms of a transfer fee, but could you fast forward 12 months and think, well, he's then entering the final year of his contract. That's then maybe the time to sell. So I just think right now, I think it's too early to dispense with Tav, but you maybe get another 12 months down the line and then think, well, does he get an extra 12 months, or do we try and we'll get a couple of million in for him, and that's then the time to move him on? I'd be surprised if Clement is still the Rangers manager by that stage. I'd be surprised if we find ourselves in the situation like we have been previously, Conor Goldson and Kent and Morelos, like we are this year with likes of John Lundstrom. I don't see Clement allowing the situation to get to that stage. When you get to 18 months or so out, you're either part of the long-term plans or you're part of the guys that will be moved on.
Yeah, absolutely. Some contrasting opinions, Chris, you'll be glad to know in the comment section as ever. James says, why are we praising a captain who's only won one league title in 5 seasons? But Stephen says, Tav's goal contribution alone is huge for us. I, for one, do hope he stays at Rangers for as long as possible. CGM55 with a question. Here's a question my son asked me. Why do we keep playing the attacking right back in defence and the defensive right back in attack? It doesn't really make much sense. And Brian Doherty agreeing with that comment, saying, do you think we could play Sterling at right back and push Tavernier further up the pitch on the right-hand side? I think Chris's response to that, no. The reason is there's a reason that multiple managers have not done that. If you take that role in isolation, firstly, Dujon Sterling is playing across a multitude of different positions. Clement will want to keep his back four together. Tavernier's had some bad defensive moments in recent weeks, but he's had some good ones as well. But it's more about look, for example, at the importance of the off-ball work that Dujon Sterling is doing when he plays on the right in particular. Look at the way that he receives with his back to goal. He can actually move more like a winger, I think, a lot of the time, Dujon Sterling. If you looked back, I put a tweet out about this after the Scottish Cup semi-final, where actually the best Rangers player taking on someone out wide was Dujon Sterling out in the left wing, and when he moved up from left back. So I don't think it's not as simple as saying if you move someone forward 10 yards, 20 yards in the starting lineup, they're going to get into more attacking positions. I think the whole benefit of Tavernier playing deeper is when Rangers are dominant enough, and the issue is you've not seen this much recently because they've not really dominated games, certainly in terms of territory, is that it allows them to arrive free into the box. It allows them to move on to attacks instead of starting them. Instead of being the one who's isolated one-on-one out wide, which I don't think is his strength, he can combine, he can move inside, he can run beyond, as we saw for that cross at the weekend. I don't know what you think about the move to Tavernier debate forwards, but we've been having it for a number of seasons and I'm still absolutely against it.
I'm absolutely against it as well. And as you said, there's how many Rangers managers need to take control of a squad with James Tavernier in it, and every one of them say he's the right back, that's his position. Now, it's been used in different ways by different managers. Also, different managers have their own style. They want different things from their fullbacks. But as you say, it's not just as easy as play him up one and he'll still provide the same level of influence. The game is very different playing wide right than it is playing at right back. I think that the clearest answer to this probably comes from the big interview that you did with him out in La Manga, where he spoke about timing those runs, being in the right place at the right time, how he sees the game unfold, and how he then knows when to put himself in that position at the back post. I spoke to him about a number of the goals that he'd scored, some domestic ones, some famous European ones. That process of being able to see the game, being able to then time the run, being able to get ahead of your respective number, that's going to be different playing upper level. I just don't see how, right now, I don't see how you get the best out of Taff by taking him out of the position that he's played, like 350-odd or more games than that for. So I just don't see why that would be. Right now, if it's going to happen, it would have happened before now. I think that wide right is clearly an issue within the squad. Wide left may become an issue in the squad, depending on what happens with Seaman and Cortez over the summer as well. But for me, right back is not an area that has to be addressed or tinkered with. We do need backup in there if you decide that Sterling is going to be a midfielder, and that's going to be a role that potentially a lonesome role going into the middle of the pitch alongside Diomande. I like the look of that as a partnership. I would rather have, from what I've seen of Sterling, I think that's more suited to his strengths than playing him at right back. It's not as easy to say, well, he's right footed, he's a defender, stick him in there. It changes the whole makeup of the side. As we've seen at left back, very different with Sterling in there, very different with Paris in there, very different with Rudvan Yilmaz in there. If you take away an established part of the side and start tweaking with the right back, I think it causes more issues than it solves.
Yeah, no, FNC, the issue isn't moving Taff forwards. I think their point is relative to playing the defensive player at right wing. However, it's clear right back is his position. Dujon Sterling has had to play everywhere, hasn't he? Rangers have changed managers mid-season and they've went for a manager who doesn't play wingers to one who does. I know Matondo and Sima were in the squad beforehand, but Matondo's really been an impact sub and Sima more of a wide forward than a winger for me. So I agree with you, Chris. Dujon Sterling has to play going forward. He's probably at his most effective in the middle. He's, and again, to go back to that point I was making about his one-on-ones out wide, I still think he's, aside from all his physical qualities, the fact that he can really dominate defensively, he can recover. You know, you think back to the game against Real Betis, which is when he first really played a standout game in midfield before the turn of the year. And I think, yeah, he did play in the midfield, didn't he? And how he shut down Isco in that second half. And that's what you noticed in the immediate sense. But then more and more you see that I think he's one of Rangers' best technical players if you look at how he can carry the ball and go beyond players. You remember the academy that he's come from. So interested to see what happens there. Let's get on to the other Rangers player that was up for the award yesterday. Jack Butland was also speaking to the media. Let's hear what he had to say.
No, it's an honour. It's been an enjoyable year. And it means that you've done something right or performed well. So it's a nice feeling to have. And a bit of tough competition, but it's enjoyable.
Did you have a feeling that it might be coming just based on the season you've had?
No, it didn't. It didn't cross my mind that it wasn't something that I was looking to achieve. It was, you know, this whole experience for me has been about playing and showcasing what I can do. And I'd like to think that I've done that fairly consistently so far. I guess with that has come some recognition from your fellow players and your peers, which is always nice to have. So it's a great place to be, and I'm very grateful.
Don't know why Butlin is out of sync there, but it was him speaking. Chris, I put it to you, your piece on the website today, which people can go and read, is about Jack Butlin. Deservedly, Stevie and I spoke about it yesterday, deservedly Rangers Player of the Year and Players Player and Overall Player of the Year, obviously voted for it by the fans. He has had a very good season and he's very good. I don't know what more there is to add to that, is there?
I think that sums it up. May as well just end the show 10 minutes early. Jack Butland is very good at playing football. I think over the course of the season for me, he's been a standout performer. I think players like Taff have come into the season. Apart from that, there are very few other runners and riders to be even challenging Jack Butland as Ranger Player of the Year. I think we all but crowned him as Player of the Year after the first 6 weeks or so of the season. Now, he came in, made such an assured start in difficult circumstances, a bad time for the club. Everything that was that opening day defeat down at Killie, difficult times under Michael Beale, change of manager, how he then handled all that. So for me, he's been nailed on for this award. All but since the first couple of weeks of the season. For me, he gets my vote for the overall Scottish Football Award as well. I know people will look at Shankland, will rightly look at Matt Riley at Celtic, other one that was on the list if the PFA yesterday. But I think if you look at Butland's consistency over the course of the season, big moments and big games. He's got a presence about him, both on and off the pitch. He speaks really well. He speaks how you would want a potential Rangers captain to speak. I think he ticks so many boxes. And I say for me, Butland is a standout performer. So when we fill in our forms for the Football Writers Award over the next week or so, Jack Butland gets my vote.
Yeah, thinking back to the game at the weekend, Chris, and then contrasting to the Ross County game, and where, in the fallout of that game, I think there was mixed opinions. Some people were saying, great, you get the 3 points, the title race remains alive. Others justifiably were saying, well, yes, maybe so, but that wasn't very comfortable, was it? That's something we've seen quite a lot this season. Games kind of being grinded out. I think St Mirren could count themselves pretty unlucky. I'd actually probably argue, Chris, that the Dundee performance away from home, whilst difficult to call one of the St Mirren or Dundee performances better, St Mirren were probably more worthy of a point than Dundee were, certainly if you look at the numbers. The difference probably for me over that game and the Ross County game, where Ross County were definitely deserving winners on that day and created so many opportunities, was that Dessers takes his opportunity where he doesn't up in Dingwall. But also Butland makes a huge save before half-time. And Stevie and I discussed this yesterday. If he doesn't save that, then Rangers have lost their lead, as they did in Dingwall. They've lost it to two quick-fire goals, as they did in Dingwall, and they're probably struggling to bring it back. So Butland is maybe masking some of the structural issues that Rangers need to sort out this summer. A lot of people in the comments are stressing out, shall we say, about whether he will be here this summer. He's clearly a player who's going to have a price on his head, because, again, Rangers are not in a position where they can afford for someone like him, who's one of their most valuable assets at the moment. Let's not forget that. Jack Butland will, of course, have a price. Where do you think we stand in relation to this? How likely is it that he goes this summer? Is that really dependent on how much, obviously, a club is willing to offer? We know that he really enjoys it here, that he's loves playing football more consistently. And you can see just by watching his interviews that he's really fallen in love with the club and its surroundings. But there will be a lot of attention on him this summer, because not only because of his reputation from beforehand and the player that people knew he could be, Chris, but because of the season that he has had, not least being nominated for the awards, which demonstrates that.
If you are an English Premier League club and you're looking for a goalkeeper and you don't at least put in a bid for Jack Butland, I'd have to question your sporting director, director of football recruitment team, whatever your particular structure is. As if you are in that position, Butland is a no-brainer, surely. Still at a good age, plenty of years in him, coming off the back of a terrific season. He should have had an England call-up. I think it's really unfortunate not to. Sounds like I'm trying to give him the big sale and force him out the door. Anything but. I'd love for him to stay, but I think fans have to be realistic. Now, Rangers will have to reinvest in the squad. There will be another turnover of players, potentially quite a considerable one. And if you're looking at players that you can move on to bring in funds, Yilmaz is an obvious one, and Jack Butland is the standout one in that category. He does love it up here. I think that's been clear. Again, it spoke yesterday about just the enjoyment of playing regular football. It's not been something that he has had over the last couple of seasons. He's enjoyed that aspect of it. He spoke after winning the Rangers Player of the Year award. Spoke about that relationship with the fans. They've clearly fallen in love with him. So there's a lot for Jack to like about life at Rangers. There's a lot of reasons for him to stay. But ultimately, in the modern game, money talks. If the offer is around about 10 million or so, for me, that's nowhere near enough. I think you have to add at least 5 on to it before Rangers would look to start doing some business. And I think if they do business, it will be reluctantly, because they know how good Jack Butland is. He's clearly going to be a huge part of the squad next season. He's nailed on in that number one slot. But I think we have to be realistic. If you're playing at that level consistently and you are as impressive consistently, it's obvious that teams are going to be attracted to him.
Yeah, interesting. I'm sure it'll be a big talking point over the next few months. Let's get to some more comments. Magic Man donates to the show. He says, what has happened to Lawrence? Woeful of late. He obviously came back in after Christmas, really, Chris, didn't he? Because he hadn't played much for Rangers at all before that. Had some good performances in a kind of deeper line role in midfield. Struggled in the Old Firm game. I think that was a game where you looked at the Rangers front four and the lack of just legs was pretty alarming, and that showed. What do you make of that comment? He came on at the weekend, could have scored if not for some brilliant defending by Alex Gogic. How do you assess Tom Lawrence? Is the second half of his season overall?
For me, he's dispensable. I think Rangers could do better come the summer. He's also had injury problems, which haven't helped. But I think if you look at his Rangers career overall, there's promising flashes, there's signs of a player. We think there's something there. But for me, it just doesn't do it often enough. If you're looking to next season, same setup. Dio Mandy is obviously a nailed-on starter. Really impressed with him. Rangers obviously committed to a transfer fee for him. He starts. Sterling, as we spoke about earlier on, I think he's ahead of everyone else almost in that pecking order. You're looking at obviously Lundstrom potentially moving on, Ryan Jack moving on. There will be discussions over Nico Raskin's place within the squad. Sterling's place within that group is undoubted. It's nailed down. If you had to pick a team for the first day of next season, Sterling and Dio Mandy is that midfield two for me, unless they go and sign someone who's even better. If they do, great, because what an option we'll then have. Now for me, Lawrence is flattered to deceive, not quite hit the heights often enough. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he's one that Rangers look to move on over the course of summer. I just think that position and the wages could be utilised better.
Yep. Yeah, CGM55 says I thought he would kick on after the Kilmarnock goal. And that was a performance where you thought, and listen, if he comes off the bench at the weekend and scores that goal, then maybe the outlook is slightly more positive on him. But that was a performance against Kilmarnock where I thought he was key in that game because, a small detail, but he won the foul, if you remember, for Tavernier to score from. And at that point, Rangers were just not getting up the pitch at all against Kilmarnock, who were totally in control of that game. Then obviously scores the second goal with a fantastic finish, but it hasn't quite happened for him over the past month or so. Just finally on the midfield, Chris, we spoke at length about Dio Mandy yesterday. There's an article about it on the website and why he is clearly the player that Rangers need to build around in the middle. Nico Raskin continues to just be one that it just baffles me because I've been trying to think, look, what is it? Is there something about his game that doesn't line up with Clement's style of football? And maybe he's someone who, you know, if you compare it to Michael Beale's style of football, it was more bodies in the centre, more combinations, less isolated. Maybe it's because a Dowell or a Lawrence, if you look at how they filled in when Diomande was injured over the thumb issue, didn't he, over the Dundee game and the Ross County game, it's because maybe they have a more reliable passing range. I don't think Raskin's a great passer over distance. He can rush it, he can lose the ball. And we've been seeing Lundstrom rarely kind of play in that centre when Diomande's been fit and available. That was the only thing that kind of came to mind. But do you still expect him to be here next season? Because he was someone who, this time last year, everyone was saying, well, Nico Raskin is the future of the Rangers midfield. He's the one to build around. I know Clement's been asked about it and he's discussed it a little bit recently, but the weekend was another game where he didn't come off the bench. I actually thought, without doing loads in the Scottish Cup semi-final, it was just nice to see him running about and looking busy again as he does on a football pitch. But yeah, it's one that confuses me, and I don't have a real idea in my head as to why he's not getting a chance.
No, I'm not quite sure. I think he has had chances under Clement. Obviously, St Mirren the last time there was one. I'm sure they started the Motherwell game at Ibrox that he lost as well. So I think the last couple of times he has started, he's not taken that chance. So that's clearly not done him any good. As you say, the manager has been asked about him a couple of times in the last few weeks. And it's always been a case of he just has to keep doing what he's doing and his chance will come and there's other players ahead of him. But if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's not going to be playing an awful lot of football because he's not over these last couple of months. Again, has had injury problems. The whole season just been a bit stop-start. It's not been the kick-on and go-again campaign that we all thought. Because he came in last January, he thought, at the price, at the profile, this guy could be a player. This guy, someone who we can build around for maybe a couple of seasons and you'll then move him on and you'll make a bit of money on him. It's just not happening. You do think that if the manager really rated him and really liked him, he would have played him by now. You look at Lawrence being out and then coming back in. look at Kieran Dowell coming from absolutely nowhere and then getting game time. It's hard to see what they could have done in the short training time that they've had that puts them that far ahead of Nico Raskin in the pecking order. So again, I think there will be a conversation around him over the summer. We can't, of course, settle everyone. There's not going to be 20 players in and 20 players out. Some squad players will have to remain. If Raskin is one of those guys that stays, I'm more than happy about it. I'm willing to give him another season. But if we then get to October time and it's still not happening and game time is really limited, you're then looking at, well, January, you move him on and you're then trying to go down different options. So hopefully it's just a season that for a variety of reasons it's not really worked out for him. But there is still something there, because if there's not something there, I think it'd be a real blow for Rangers financially to an extent, but certainly in football terms, because we all thought that they'd actually uncovered someone in Nico Raskin.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. Right, we'll leave it there for today. Derek will be back with Johnny tomorrow morning, so you can all look forward to that. Until then, loads of content for you on the website if you've not signed up and subscribed already. Thanks to Chris for joining me. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and we'll speak to you soon.